time to buy in. You're listening to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Now, let's start the hour. Welcome to this week's episode of the Noble Capital Radio Hour, where we explore income strategies for the modern financial landscape. I'm Sean Harris. To the left of me, he's not just a weekend warrior, he's the wizard of wealth management, the soldier of fortune, Jess Hardtail Hamill.
Good morning.
And to my right, the pioneer of private lending, he's the Earl of Newcastle, the people's champion, Jaden, join us, it's Bliss, Newman.
Good morning, gents.
Gentlemen.
The Earl of Newcastle. I like that. I don't know if,
yeah,
I don't know if you realize the significance
of
that or
not. Well, it's kind of an inside joke, and okay. I do. And we don't have to get into the whole thing, but I just thought it was very appropriate because you are the Lord and Ruler, the Earl of Newcastle.
So here we are again, gents.
What's
special about today or this week? Anything?
Well, first of all, I want to say to all of the fathers out there, Happy Father's Day.
Well, there
Thank
it is.
And
yep.
To the two gentlemen in the studio with me today as well, who I know are both proud and loving fathers, Happy Father's Day,
guys. We are both of those, aren't we?
We are. And it means the world to me. It's actually, I got a big heart, kind of a... what would you call it? A throbbing heart this week because I have one turning 16, my baby girl. That's really hard, man. Right? Sweet 16. Get the shotgun shined up and ready. And then my son just graduated high school. So, we got
awesome.
Father's Day. So a lot of life events taking place.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
A lot of milestones. Huh?
Yeah. Love it.
That's really awesome.
So is it three times a celebration or is it just get knocked out in one celebration?
Well, we've been doing it. The celebration's been going on for the last couple of weeks with graduation, and they're up in Colorado right now at camp, and they'll be back on Kate, my daughter's birthday on Friday. So
awesome!
Yeah, so we'll do kind of her little birthday party, and then we'll have a big celebration.
Have a nice big blowout. Cool. So it's not going to be like when your birthday is the day before Christmas, and so you don't get double the presents. You just kind of get screwed over.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Exactly.
Well said. I know Jess is a loving father too. I've got a chance to meet his daughter.
She's incredible, man.
Yeah,
she really
totally
is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because she's my daughter. Everybody says that.
Well, right. Everybody says that, but yeah. I know you've talked quite a bit about her. I know you're quite proud of your daughter and a smart cookie too, right?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Well, for those of you out there listening, if you haven't listened to the show before, or if you need a gentle reminder, we are Noble Capital Wealth Management, a financial advising and income planning firm focused on helping our clients achieve financial freedom through predictable lifetime income. And we welcome your questions and comments. If you have anything for us, you can just email me at radio@noblecapital.com. And we're actually going to be compiling all of our listeners' questions into the next listener questions episode. So if there's anything that you want us to unpack a little bit more on the show, or maybe something we talk about that you don't quite understand yet, or if you just have any questions of your own, feel free to get in touch with us, radio@noblecapital.com. Last week's episode was called Investment Nirvana, and we discussed alternative investments and how they might be a useful tool for your comprehensive income plan. I really enjoyed that show, guys, and if you folks out there listening did not catch that one, just look up the Noble Capital Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts. So real quick, before we go to capital contemplations, from time to time, I come across a joke that I think is appropriate either for the topic or just because I think it will make you guys laugh. So I brought a joke this week. Why are there so many more jokes about Chuck Norris than there are about Bruce Lee?
I don't know, man. I never really thought that through, but you're right. I mean, there's Chuck Norris is kind of the benchmark for the bad, you know what, jokes.
Yeah.
Well, because he's still around?
It's because Bruce Lee is no joke.
That well said.
That's a pretty good one, actually. You come up with some really dumb jokes sometimes, just I think intentionally, but that was actually a good one.
I do have a stable of dad jokes, to be sure. So, you guys want to fight over who reads Capital Contemplations this week?
Yeah, I'll arm wrestle you for it.
I'll just jump right in. I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Take it.
Yeah. So, aging can be fun if you lay back and enjoy it.
There you go. So, who said this?
I don't know that
for
I agree with
it. Two retirement points. Was it Paul Newman? Was it Clint Eastwood? Or was it Jack Nicholson?
I'm going with Nicholson just because sounds like something he would say. I don't think any of them would follow that.
Jaden, what do you think? Paul Newman, Clint Eastwood?
I think you threw Paul Newman in there for me as bait. But you might be using reverse psychology on me. So
always.
Yep. So I'm gonna go with Paul Newman. I think you're trying to trick me. He's the only one that's deceased on this list too right now, right?
That's true. Actually, it's Clint Eastwood.
Ah. I would not have thought
that. Does not sound, I think, like something Clint Eastwood would say. Yeah. I mean, Dirty Harry himself, right? I don't know.
I
but
mean, even old, I was watching a fairly recent movie of his the other night. And, I mean, he's old as dirt, but he's still up and running around and just as honored as he ever was.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, some of his later movies are really great, too. You know, you think of Clint Eastwood as being a Western guy, right? And he is, but he's done just really some amazing, even sort of dramas and you know, directed a lot of great movies as well.
I
mean, you know,
Gran Torino, I love the new version or the new era of him.
I'm a huge fan of Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, that was good,
too. That was an awesome movie. Well, guys, let's jump into it because we've only got a few minutes left before the break, but I want to give the listeners sort of a preview of what we've got going on this episode, which is called Go-Go, Slow-Go, No-Go. Say that 10 times fast. We're going to be talking about the different phases that you go through during retirement and how your income plan has to really match what your lifestyle looks like through those different phases of retirement. So why do we kind of think in the abstract about these different phases of retirement just in general when it comes to an income plan?
I mean, you know, like any other part of your life, as you age or you progress through life, you're going to have different lifestyles, different health. I mean, there's so many factors that are going to affect a 60-year-old that affect an 80-year-old differently. So we want to make sure that we plan for that. I mean, if you just plan a linear plan and assume everybody's going to act exactly the same way from now till the day they die, then there's going to be a lot of holes in that plan.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jaden, real quick, can you explain for the listeners the thought behind no-go, slow-go, go-go? What do these mean to you, just in general?
Well, you know, that whole terminology comes up. We talk about this with our clients when we're talking about what the rest of their life looks like, essentially. You know, you work hard to get to this retirement, you know, benchmark. And then, like, now what? What's this last one-third of your life going to look like? Mm-hmm. And we take that and we break it down into your go-go years, your slow-go years, and your no-go years. And everybody gets a laugh out of that because, you know, nobody likes to think about growing old.
Sure.
This is a lighthearted way of putting it. But one of the things that Jess and I are very keen on is having this conversation right up front with, you know, what is your dream in retirement? What's your bucket list? What do you want to do to make the most out of these times and make these memories? Because this isn't a dress rehearsal. You get one shot at this thing.
Right.
Right. So what's a priority to you? A lot of people have insecurities about spending money. We find that even our high net worth clients that have plenty of money, and we want to encourage them to go out and live their dream in retirement.
Almost worse sometimes. I think that's why they've got so much money. They didn't spend it ever.
Yeah, so they're kind of holding back because they're what, afraid they won't have enough.
Yeah, exactly. They're afraid they're going to run out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we've said it 100 times on this show, but if you're worried about what your retirement income is going to look like or what your lifestyle is going to look like, that's a pretty good indicator that you don't really have a plan.
Yeah,
you're just guessing, right? You're throwing it to the wind.
Half a plan.
Yeah, half a plan, which is probably save up and spend down, which we know most people, that is their idea of a retirement plan, and we know it's not. And if you don't have a retirement plan, folks, you can connect with us at one of our dinner and discussion events where we talk about how you can achieve that financial freedom, that confidence in retirement. And all you have to do to RSVP is go to noblecapitalradio.com. The next one's coming up Tuesday, July 9th at Fleming's. When we return after the break, we'll go a little more in depth into the different phases of retirement and how your income plan needs to meet those goals. We'll be right back after this break.
Austin's Talk 1370.
You're tuned in to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Welcome back to the show, where this week we're talking about how and why your income plan needs to age with you during retirement. We're calling this episode Go-Go, Slow-Go, No-Go to describe the different phases of your life.
And I like the way you worded that, that it ages with you. I don't think we've ever said that before. It's one of those, just look at it and go, why didn't I think of that before? That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, and that really is what a good income plan should do, you know, specifically because your income requirements are different and your health is different and all of that, which we're going to get into. But in this segment, I want to talk about the go-go years. And to me, this is really the most exciting part. And I think this is what people typically think about when they think retirement. Right? When I retire, I'm going to blank, right? I'm going to travel. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to plant a garden, whatever it is. So how does your income plan like kind of need to be adjusted for those go-go years?
So the beauty of the way we put our plan together is if we follow the plan exactly, within a few dollars, I can tell you what your income's going to be at any given age. But we know that life intervenes, people change their mind. You know, somebody that I'm sitting down with right now at, say, 60 is thinking, when I retire, I want to, just like you were saying. But then when they actually get there, they've got a whole different attitude. So it's got to be something that can evolve and be dynamic throughout the course of the lifetime. And that's exactly how we plan it.
Sure. Okay. And so for the go-go years, now I know obviously this is going to be a little bit different for everybody, but what kind of age range are we thinking would – you know, be described by go-go years?
Man, we could have a whole topic or a segment just talking nothing about that, but it's, I see it different all across the board. I see 60-year-olds that come in that are ready to sit on the couch and garden, and, you know, I see some 70-year-olds that are trying to figure out a way to finance, you know, a new airplane or a couple more motorcycles. It really, really varies a lot.
Sail around the world, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's still more of a, you know, Jimmy Buffett music on, sitting back reading a book kind of thing as opposed to go, go, go. But I see a lot of clients that are older. I'm not going to mention any age ranges, but are still going really, really hard.
Yeah. So, and when you say going hard, you're talking about jumping on the hog and driving all the way up to Sturgis, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that's a good example. I don't do Sturgis anymore. It's all orthopedists and CPAs,
dentists, and doctors.
Taking off, doing something like that.
Sure.
I had a really good friend. He actually died not long ago. He was probably 75, and he was Toe. And that guy was in, you know, relatively poor health overall, smoked a lot, didn't take care of his body, been in a bunch of motorcycle wrecks. But even in his early 70s, the guy would get on his bike and take off to Florida by himself, alone, on an old shovel, and just make it. I mean, that's a go-go.
Nice. Yeah. So how do you kind of structure the income for that earlier phase in retirement when people are, you know, really looking for the go-go years?
So I will create a plan that solves the income in a linear fashion relative to inflation. So, for example, somebody's living on $150,000 a year today.
That'd be a nice budget, man. Hook me up.
So, $150,000 in today's dollars solves what they do.
Right.
So, I will inflate that at 3% for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And then we have, you know, age brackets, you know, 5, 4, 5, 6 years, depending on if there's a milestone. And then we'll adjust it for that accordingly. We will actually plan out so that we've got everything covered, assuming they're doing the same thing at 90 as they are today. So that becomes the basis. And then when we meet with them annually, that's when we start backing things up. So for instance, if I have an instrument that's going to produce $2,000 a month if you turn it on at age 65, but if you wait until age 75, maybe it's going to produce $3,000 a month, but if you turn it on early, it's going to be less, right? So as we meet on these annual reviews, somebody's starting to slow down a little bit or somebody's wanting to speed up knowing they're going to slow down, we'll turn on instruments early so they've got more money now, knowing that we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, but it's okay. If somebody wants to go, you know, take these fantastic ski trips to Switzerland or something at 65, spend the money now because you're not going to be going down the black slopes when you're 80.
Or presumably, at
least. Yeah, presumably.
So that's interesting that you say that, because it sounds to me like some of that investment is, or maybe a good portion of it, is still accumulating during their go-go years.
Right. So we'll set up, you know, five different instruments, turn the first one on, and let the rest accumulate. In year number five, we turn the second one on, the rest are still accumulating. And it's pretty cool. We do it right. It's like solving a Rubik's Cube. But I can actually put, you know, say $300,000 away in several different steps and have $300,000 produced today, what $100,000 is going to produce just letting it accumulate for 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So what are, obviously the expenses earlier on in retirement are going to be way different than later in retirement. And again, everybody's a little bit different.
Yeah, for most people.
But what are some of the expenses that people might still have during their go-go years that maybe they won't have to worry about later on in their retirement? You know, I'm thinking a house would be a good example. Maybe you're still paying a mortgage.
Yeah, so I mean, you could have that. Most of my clients, by the time they get to retirement age, aren't still carrying a mortgage, or if they are, it's for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. But what we see...
Supporting a 30-year-old child.
Exactly.
In the basement.
Supporting a what used to be a millennial.
Yeah.
just carrying things along the way. But what we typically see is people will accelerate their lifestyle in the earlier years, thinking it's going to be cheaper later.
Yeah.
And while they may not be going on $30,000 ski trips, their health expenses start to increase. So even though we plan it linear and then plan to make it a hyperbolic curve, it typically ends up being somewhat linear.
Okay. So you don't plan to be supporting a 30 or 40-year-old whenever you...
Mine's 22. She's already supporting herself. So
perfect.
That's not going to happen on my clock.
You're ahead of the curve. How about you, Jaden?
Absolutely not. We're raising ours to be leaders and be some good contributors in society. So I don't see them coming back and being basement dwellers.
Basement dwellers.
Right?
Yeah, I love it.
That's funny. Some of our clients, when we talk about millennials, you know, we talk about the concept of having a pension. You know, like if you want to get a quick laugh, ask a millennial what a pension is.
Yeah.
And just shut up and, you know, see what they have to say.
Watch those gears grind.
Right. So like, I think I've heard of a pension, right?
Yeah.
Pension. Well, first they'll probably try to Google it or ask Siri, right? But what my client
Alexa,
said was...
Alexa, what is a pension?
I have no actual idea or recollection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think most of them have some idea, but it's kind of like a rotary phone. I mean, they've heard it. They've heard of it. They don't really understand the concept because it's not something that's going to affect them. But I think most of them have an idea, at least.
They have an idea of it.
Well, also, and it's very abstract to somebody who hasn't, you know, had experience with a pension before. Now, you know, even if their parents had a pension, well, maybe they have a little bit better understanding of how it works. But yeah, it's not really a concrete thing because they're pretty rare.
Yeah, I mean, and not to pick on millennials, and I shouldn't have to worry about it too much because I don't think a huge part of our audience is millennials. But I think a lot of that age group, they don't really understand what happens in retirement. They just see their parents doing okay, and they see their grandparents were doing okay, and they should assume they don't know what Social Security is, but they know that's what you get paid when you retire. And maybe you save a little bit in your 401k, but I really don't think very many of them have any grasp of the concept of how you fund retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that kind of goes along with some of the misconceptions, because people think, oh, well, when I retire, I'll get Social Security and I'll have a retirement savings account and stuff like that. But they probably don't have really, even people my age or older may not even yet understand what their Social Security income is going to look like.
True. And relative to lifestyle, it's not going to be that much. I think people put too much emphasis on that and kind of count on it. And then, you know, they know that they're gonna have some 401k and some retirement savings. The step that they tend to forget is you got to start saving to have it in the end.
Yeah.
And it's always that I'll do it later scenario.
Sure. So real quick before we go to break, Jess, what are you going to do in your go-go years?
I'm in my go-go years.
You are?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm still going.
So what are you doing then?
I'm going to go and go to sleep one night and not wake up the next day.
All right, but so there's not going to be any slow go.
It's going to involve motorcycles, I can guarantee you that. Motorcycles and beach and a lot of go-go. What is it? Faster, louder, harder. That's going to be on my tombstone.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Jaden, what are you going to do during your go-go years?
You know, I'm sitting here looking at this and rethinking it, actually, as I'm listening to you guys talk. But, I mean, to put it short and simple, I feel like a well-balanced life for me is a little bit of all three of these, a little go-go, a little slow-go, and a little no-go, but just on repeat.
Gotcha. So you're going to kind of do them all at once then and just enjoy it.
Some downtime, some go-go, take it easy, just chill. I think this is a perfect balance for me right
now. Go hard and then recharge, right?
Exactly.
That makes sense. Well, if those of you out there listening don't yet know how you're going to fund your go-go years, you can connect with us by going to noblecapitalradio.com and RSVPing for one of our dinner and discussion events about how to achieve financial freedom. We'll be right back after this break, folks. And now, back to the Noble Capital Radio Hour. Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about your go-go years, which, of course, should be the most enjoyable part of your retirement, or at least it's when you still have youth enough left to do those things that you've always wanted to do. So this is part of a larger conversation. We're talking about the different phases of retirement and how your income plan should age along with you because you have different requirements as you age. So let's talk about the transition kind of from your go-go years to your slow-go years. First of all, I mean, what does this mean from a life perspective and the way that you live it?
Man, that's a tough one because I talk to clients about that when we have this exact same conversation. And it's like, okay, where's the benchmark where you're sitting there saying, okay, you're going from go-go to slow-go? You know, is it that you took up gardening or you got rid of your Harley or you couldn't pass your medical to keep your pilot's license? I mean, there's like so many different benchmarks that would identify that, but it's more of a transition, more of a gray area where it goes from one color to the next.
It's gradual.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not like
for some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a medical term we use that, you know, you got to imagine in this role when we're sitting here talking to folks about retirement and we're going to be your financial advisor and your retirement coach for the rest of your life, like that's the kind of relationship we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We got to be able to sit down and just talk to them like family. I mean, you got to get there pretty quick, right? So,
well, retirement's a very personal thing because you're talking about your health and your longevity and your mortality.
You are, and you know, and that's what family does.
Yeah.
So, you know, in fact, some family doesn't do that. So it's even more refreshing when, as an advisor, you know, we can sit down and press right in and start getting to know these people at a deeper level. And part of it is being real honest about kind of what the future is going to look like here when you start getting to a point where you need assistance. Mm-hmm. And that's really the first thing is, do you now need assistance to get through your daily activities? They have these life insurance companies call it ADLs, activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. And when you can't perform so many of these activities of daily living, then that kind of triggers your benefits in these insurance products.
Yeah, so it's two of the six.
Two of the and six ADLs.
That is the benchmark for everything long-term care, whether it's a long-term care policy or a nursing home or the life insurance companies, Medicaid.
A feature and an annuity or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. There's six things that we do every day. And if any two of them you have any issue with whatsoever, that's what pushes you over to the next one. But I don't know that's really an actual benchmark because I know some people out there that maybe, you know, maybe they've got a catheter and maybe they got one other issue, but they're still skydiving and doing all kinds of crazy stuff too.
That's right. At that point, it's more of a mental thing. And that's what I was going to say, Sean, is like one of the things we've learned, and I've learned this from clients just as much as any kind of professional training, but when you have to stay active, both your mind and your body, those clients of ours that are active and very deliberate about that, they could be 80, 85 years old running circles around a 65-year-old because it's mind over matter, and they're just very deliberate about staying out there and staying social and active and sharp. And that makes all the difference in the world.
That is huge, and it's dead on, and I actually have personal experience with that. So those of you that have been listening for a while know that I tried my first retirement at 40, almost 41, because I wanted to spend more time with my daughter. And it took my 8-year-old daughter calling me out on the carpet. I put on 40 pounds, grew a beard, and she's like, what are you doing? This is not cool. I don't like this. Go do something. You need something to do. Because I got up and made her breakfast, made her lunch, took her to school, and waited for her to come home. Yeah. And I wasn't really doing anything. My whole purpose of retiring was to hang out with her, and she was gone most of the day anyway.
Yeah. So she's like, quit paying so much attention to me.
So I very quickly realized the mistake that I made there. Went back to work, lost the weight, shaved the beard. I got a little thing on my chin now, but that beard was lazy. But man, I can see without somebody pushing you, or if you weren't a real motivated person, it doesn't matter what age you retire. If you don't have something to do and no motivation to go do it, you're going to age very quickly.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because, you know, I think people think that once they stop working, they're going to have all this freedom and they can do whatever they want. But, you know, often people retire and they, you know, maybe just kind of fall into that rut of, well, I'm retired now, and then they get a little bit bored of doing nothing day in and day out, you know, and they don't really think about, you know, their go-go years, for instance. You know, they don't really have a plan. They don't really have something that they want to do to keep themselves busy. But you do have to keep yourself busy.
And it can be real easy to fall in that trap. So you've been going to work every day for, I don't know, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And coming up on retirement. So it's just like when you get a whole bunch of money. You really ought to just put it in the bank or pay some bills off, but you want to go blow on a little bit on something stupid, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I've been going to work every single day, getting up at 5 o'clock, I got to be out the door. So for a while, I'm going to do nothing. That's going to be my reward. I'm going to sit here on the couch, watch TV, and then depending on the personality, you can like slip right into that and not come out of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's real easy to binge everything on Netflix, right. You know, nonstop.
Yeah, with the internet and a million cable channels and everything else that enable you to basically function sitting on the couch your entire life, it could be very easy.
Yeah, there's a lot of technology out there that's not really beneficial to us, and it does, for lack of a better way to put it, it kind of keeps us dumb and it keeps us complacent, and we're just not doing, you know, we're not sailing around the world. We're not, you know, riding bikes. We're not doing things that we should be doing.
Yeah.
My two favorite things, well, not my two, but two of my favorite activities to do, motorcycles and flying. You can't get me on my cell phone while I'm riding. I mean, when I stop, it's always going to be there, right?
But sure.
I can completely get away from it. And when I started flying, it was the same way. It's like, I mean, you get up above 3,000 feet, that's it. There is no cell service. Mm-hmm. And now I can be cruising at 9,000 feet in the middle of nowhere, and I've got, you know, 3 bars on AT&T. It's crazy. The technology is keeping us all connected everywhere and keeping us, in some instances, from being able to actually go do the things you enjoy. You have to have the motivation to turn it off.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a plan, just the motivation to go out and do something, you know, about whatever you're passionate about. So let's kind of talk about how when you transition from sort of the go-go to slow-go and slow-go to no-go, how do the income requirements change? And subsequently, how does the income plan, or how can it change? How can it be adjusted to age with people?
Well, we typically look, I mean, my first benchmark that we look at before we make any other decisions is when I meet with people once per year, we take a look at their savings account. That's the best barometer right there. So last year you were sitting in front of me, you had $80,000 in your savings account. Today, how much is in there? Well, we got $100,000. Okay, so the first question, did you sell something for 20 grand? No, we're just not spending as much as we thought. So we use that right off the bat to determine whether we need to make a change or not. And it works the other way too. So just basically how much money is getting spent. If it's not some specific thing that I can identify it to, then that's a pretty good indicator that your life is falling in one direction or the other.
Okay. So powerful. One of the things that I think we take for granted is that, you know, Sean, as the producer of the show, naturally you're asking this question, like, so how does all of this affect your income account and your expenses and your income plan? Well, that's just because you're asking that, because that's just the way we talk around here and what we do. Like, that's the heart of our plan is a lifetime, you know, very predictable, deliberate income plan. But that's not necessarily how everybody thinks and looks at their money. They're looking at just a big pile of money that's being spent down, or they're looking at their money a little different. And what Jess just said was so powerful. If you heard it as a listener out there, is, you know, when you come in and every financial decision you make sitting at the desk across from Jess, that decision is going to be laid out on top of that income plan, and you're going to know exactly how, if at all, that affects that lifetime income plan. So when you filter all your decisions through your lifetime income plan, mm-hmm. whether you need to give somebody $100,000 that's in need in your family, and you're wondering how that's going to affect you, or whether you want to spend more money and do some special trips or some kind of lifestyle stuff with your family, or you know, whether you're looking to buy a new home, a second home, just all of those types of financial decisions are always filtered through the cause and effect on that lifetime income plan. And that's what gives you that confidence when you make those decisions, to know that this isn't going to affect my lifestyle at all and I'm going to be good to go.
Exactly. And that's the basis for the plan in the first place. Because when you're in spend down mode and you need to loan somebody $100,000 or you want to go on this trip, if you don't have a plan to even compare it to, you're never going to have full comfort in spending that money. It's always going to be, you know, monkey on your back saying, yeah, you shouldn't have done that. You're going to run out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I kind of frame the questions in a certain way, because while I may not be a financial advisor, I'm somewhat informed about what we do here and how we go about it, right? But I also like to take into account those of you listening out there, because in all likelihood, you're not a financial expert. You're not in the financial industry, and I really want to get you folks thinking about how this works and thinking about where you are at in your retirement journey and thinking about where you want to end up in your retirement journey. So, you know, if you want to know more, you can always get in touch with us, or you can connect with us at one of our dinner and discussion events, and we'll kind of, you know, give you the sort of bird's eye view about how an income plan works and how we approach it and some of the questions you need to be asking yourself along the way. If you want to join us Tuesday, July 9th at Fleming's is the next one we have coming up. You can go to noblecapitalradio.com and you can RSVP right there on the page. So back to the conversation real quick. I do want to touch on the no-go years, because there are some very specific expenses that people might have toward, you know, the last, I don't know, how many years of their life. Obviously, it's different for everybody.
Well, the long-term care industry would tell you 4 years, 4 to 5 years.
Okay. So that's kind of your no-go by industry definition.
Yeah, by industry standard, by the time you need help with two of the six activities of daily living, you're typically within 4 to 5 years of the end of your life.
So then how do we think about adjusting an income plan or building it from the very beginning to compensate for those no-go years? Because it sounds to me like one of the biggest shifts in your need is going to be healthcare, right? You have typically greater healthcare expenses.
True. I mean, what you're saying is true, but it's incorrect when you get into the vernacular of it. So long-term care and healthcare, as defined by health insurance companies and long-term care companies and Medicaid versus Medicare, they're two separate things, but you would think it's all lumped together.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah, but you know, medical care is I've got a runny nose, or I need an operation on my foot, or the typical stuff that we go see a doctor for today.
And you might need more of that also.
True,
but exactly. There is definitely a distinction between that and long-term care.
Right, and so long-term care is more, you know, there's a whole separate way of covering it and paying for it. But to answer your question, assuming that you're not getting in-home health care, which I think a lot of people, given the choice, would rather do that than a nursing home.
Sure.
What a lot of people don't think of when they're looking at long-term care insurance is by the time you get to the point where you're moving into a nursing home, you have no other expenses at that point. So you've got this, most likely, a large asset there that you can use to fund something if you want to, or if we've done our planning properly, by the time you get to the need for a nursing home, the income that we're generating for you is enough to cover that. And you don't have any, I mean, no haircuts, no breakfast, no anything. When you're in the nursing home, all that is part of the whole package.
Okay, that makes sense. So yeah, you're maybe not paying property taxes anymore. You're probably not driving, or at least hopefully,
hopefully
you're not if you're in that kind of condition. So you don't have, you know, car maintenance, car insurance, gas, all of those sort of things as well. So there's kind of a shift in your requirements, but there's also a shift in your budget and your income needs in general.
Right,
and
exactly.
So that's something you kind of take into account as you're putting the plan together.
And that's where it goes back to, you know, not only is it different for everybody, that's the beauty of our, the design of our plan that is dynamic and can evolve with everybody, because not everybody's going to age the same. There's some 90-year-olds out there that are going to be just go, 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 but they physically, you know, they're just going slower because their leg is giving out or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got the ones that emotionally start slowing down, and it changes everything.
Yeah. And, you know, our income plans are kind of like a custom-tailored suit, because they do have to be different for everybody. But it's a custom-tailored suit that also is flexible, because it has to be.
And it's going to last your whole life, which is that's the most powerful part.
That's right.
Great tie into that analogy there, man. Exactly.
Yeah. So again, if you want to come to one of our dinner and discussion events, you can go to noblecapitalradio.com and RSVP right there on the website. We'll be right back after this break.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Once again, this is the Noble Capital Radio Hour, and we are back. And if you just tuned in, we've kind of taken you on a journey through the different phases of retirement. So, Jaden, real quick, do you want to just briefly kind of recap what these phases of retirement are for people who may have just tuned in?
Yes. So you're going to have these three phases in terms of your energy level, your health, and that window of opportunity to really make the most out of your retirement. And the first phase is your go-go years. The second phase is your slow-go years. And then the last phase would be your no-go years. So we all are going to have this window of time, also known as sort of the golden years, you know, where right. you want to go out and make the most out of retirement, usually with a loved one, with family, close friends. That's something that you've got to get deliberate about. And the first step is to be actually get committed and become comfortable with actually spending money.
Sure.
That's very through a well thought through income plan with a good financial advisor that's going to help you walk through retirement and be there every step of the way. As soon as you get that confidence and you can see how the income is going to work for the rest of your life, you can start checking those boxes off your bucket list.
Yeah, and you don't want to miss out on those things during your go-go years because you don't have an income plan and because you're worried that you might not have enough money. So that really goes completely against, you know, sort of what we're about here. You know, we want you to know exactly how much income you have so you can make the most of it and do what you want to in your retirement.
Well, that pendulum swings both ways. You know, I've got clients that come in that are afraid to spend their money. They're afraid they're going to run out. So they come in with a $5 million balance sheet. They're already in their 70s. They're living on 70 grand a year. They're not going to run out, but they still have that fear. Mm-hmm. And then I have the other ones that are just clueless. I mean, they come in and they got $500,000 to their name. They're young and they're blowing through 150 grand a year and no plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you do realize fundamental basic math: without inflation, you're going to have to die in the next 3 or 4 years for this to work, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, I'm here. Help me figure it out.
Even I could do that math. And then after your go-go years or your slow-go years, and so I think the thought is that you may not have quite as many expenses during the slow-go years because, you know, you're getting a little older. Maybe you're not traveling to Venice or, you know, doing a lot of these things, spending a lot more money on expensive hobbies. You're maybe relaxing a little more, spending more time with your grandkids, things like that, and you're not, you know, necessarily going out and buying a bunch of new motorcycles or things like that, right?
I don't agree with that last one, but yeah, I understand the concept.
Yeah.
It's going to go from motorcycles to trikes.
Yeah.
When I can't hold the bike up, that's when I go ahead and get the 3-wheel.
I was just trolling you there, Jess.
And then he'll be sitting in the little sidecar.
Yeah.
Just like.
I tell you what, when you're too old to ride, I'll get a sidecar and I'll drive you around in it so you can still have that thrill.
That's
man.
Perfect. I'll go from being able to ride 2 wheels to a trike to
just sitting in the sidecar.
Like with my grandfather, we had to take the keys away from him because he'd do things like turn left in front of somebody because he just got tired of waiting and figured they'd stop. Right. When I get to that age, throw me in the sidecar and just take me.
Yeah. You don't already do that?
No.
Okay.
I'm smarter than that, man.
You just got to go fast, Sean.
Yeah.
I know. Just get moving. And then after your slow-go years, you have what we call your no-go years. And this is really going to be toward the end of your retirement, or that's kind of a euphemism for the end of your life,
right?
Where, you know, you really just need help, right? You're not going to be out doing a lot of things. You're not as active anymore, but you might actually have a significant level of expenses for either healthcare or long-term care. And, you know, one thing we didn't really dig into was one of the ways that you can pay for long-term care, which we kind of like to use here, if it's appropriate. And what is that, Jess?
That's through manipulation of a life insurance policy, typically an IUL or even just a straight UL. But it's a policy that we overfund, not this time to get the income up, but to jack the death benefit up. Mm-hmm. So if I know there's a certain amount of money that I'm just not going to spend, right? I got a $10 million portfolio. There's no way I'm going to spend all of it. I got those $2 million sitting here. I can put it into a life policy so that if I never need long-term care, instead of my beneficiary getting $2 million, she gets $6 million. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to pay down for long-term care, the insurance companies, typically, most of the policies we do, will allow you to draw against the death benefit, not just the cash value, but the full death benefit. Mm-hmm. And they're structured that way intentionally. And if you think about it from the life insurance standpoint, life insurance company standpoint, if you follow the 4 to 5 years of the end of your life benchmark, and now we know that a client needs long-term care, most likely the insurance company is writing a check for the death benefit in the next 4 to 5 years anyway. They're not going to get off the hook. So they will allow you to spend that down. And it typically works out to about 75% total of the death benefit that you can spend towards long-term care to make that a whole lot easier. And then whatever comes out of the death benefit when you die, the rest just goes to your beneficiary.
So there you go, folks. Pro tip from Jess Hamill.
Yeah.
It's actually a really creative use of a life insurance policy. And I love your pro tips, Jess, and I am blessed enough to get to hear them quite often. But what I'd really like to hear is for you to put your money where your mouth is. This is where each week my esteemed co-hosts have to come up with a phrase related to this week's episode, and I get to amuse myself by telling them how they have to deliver it. So every episode, I seal the guidelines for the game in the Seanvelope, and I open it on air so they never know what to expect. And if I stump them this week, this is really just a very light penalty. You have to bring me breakfast tacos for next week's broadcast because doing a radio show makes me really hungry. And because everybody loves breakfast tacos.
So I'm down with that. So if we get it right, though, you're bringing breakfast tacos all week.
No. I didn't say that, did I?
I'll bring the breakfast tacos whether we get it right or wrong.
Oh, man. See, you're so generous. I really appreciate it.
I'm a taco addict, but yeah.
Yeah, me too. All right, so let's let her rip. Okay, gentlemen, since it's Father's Day, instead of summing up today's episode, I'd like each of you to share either some financial advice you received from your father or some fatherly financial advice you've given to your children. Either advice received from your father or advice you've given as a father. Here we go. While the guys are racking their brains trying to put this one together, I just want to remind you that you can learn more about us at noblecapital.com. Check us out on Facebook at Noble Capital, on Instagram at Noble Capital Radio, and you can download every episode of the Noble Capital Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts. All right, guys, that is your time. What'd you come up with for me this week?
I'm going to let Jaden go first.
I can tell Jaden's got something. He's grinning ear to ear over here.
His eyes over there.
You guys, I always got something.
Good answer.
You know, mine. I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit because when I think about my father and what he's all about and what he's lived his life for, this kind of sums it up. But from my dad, the best advice I've got financially is – it's simply this. He's always told me, son, you know, if you give, you will receive. And it's one of those principles.
Perfect.
You know, it's like, if you don't believe it, just try it and test me and we'll see, you know, see what happens. So I have stuck with that, and there's a lot of different ways to give, but it's always come back, and I appreciate that, Dad.
Wow. I love it.
So mine's not nearly as profound as that. That was very touching, but it was more for my grandfather and something that just stuck with me. If you can't afford it now, you don't need it.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Wise words. And that is the Noble Capital Radio Hour for this week.
I'm Jaden.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Sean. And remember, life is short. Plan to enjoy it. We'll see you back here next week. All opinions and information expressed by the speakers on this show are solely the opinions of those speakers and not those of Noble Capital or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. All opinions are based on information the speakers consider reliable. Opinions and information are provided as is for educational purposes only, cannot be guaranteed or warranted, may change without notice, and may not be corrected or updated. Opinions and information should not be construed as an inducement to invest, an offer to buy or sell securities, nor as legal, tax, or investment advice, nor do they take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and are therefore not necessarily intended as recommendations suitable for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments and strategies mentioned on this program. Neither the speakers, Noble Capital, or their affiliates guarantee any specific outcome or profit. Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all investments involve inherent risk of total loss. Strategies and investments fluctuate in price and value, and investors may get back less than they invested. You should seek advice from independent financial, investment, and legal counsel before making any financial or investment decisions. Transmission of information through this program is not intended and does not create an advisor-client relationship between you and Noble Capital. Information provided on this program may reference other service providers, including websites operated and maintained by third parties. The provision of such information does not imply responsibility for or an endorsement of any third-party information, opinion, recommendation, or investment product. Reproduction, distribution, republication, and/or retransmission of any portion of this program is prohibited without the prior written consent of Noble Capital. Ooh, that's too long.